Shut up and sit down.
Live, raw, unedited. Dr. Devin Dana coming at you from Studio D in Wilmington, Philadelphia Metro. You are listening to the Eat Clean, Think Dirty show. The views expressed here are simply opinions and not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any of your problems. Listen at your own risk.
All right, did you want to say, let's get ready to rumble?
No, that was before we started recording.
Okay, so I'm in like kind of a food coma here because we're over Dana's and she has all these like gluten-free snacks. Because
my daughter was here.
Yeah, so I've eaten them and I got absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever. And now I'm just like, why did I do that? And I'm still like, I'm hungry. You know when you're hungry?
You really need protein.
You need protein and fat. Yeah. And like, but you'll reach for anything just to put something in your stomach. And that's what happened. And usually I bring dinner over, but I wasn't even thinking about it, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Right.
So anyway.
So, yeah. So basically what she's saying is Dana didn't cook for me.
I know Dana.
That's what I heard. I don't know about you all.
Didn't even cook for me. Damn.
Dana just got home from fucking work.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's cool. So did I. We're working women. We don't have all kinds of time to cook because we're, you know, bringing home the bacon.
But we are barefoot.
We are barefoot. Oh. And we're almost in the kitchen.
Well, it's a small apartment. I mean, anywhere you stand in this apartment, you're almost in the kitchen.
But it's stylish. And it's got a big window, and that's really what means the most. So what are we doing here now? Because we need to get on board with our topic.
Focus, woman.
Yeah, it's so that food coma that I'm in there.
So we're talking about the one thing that couples who have better sex do.
And oh.
Apparently there's only one thing. I would like to think there's more than one thing, but
there is.
This is one major thing.
Yeah, and I would say that this was the platform. So this came from an article that, you know, we had, you know, touched on. And it says that the one thing that couples do that makes them have better sex is that they're attentive to one another. And I think that that needs to be explained because I don't know if a lot of people know what that means. Or, for that matter, a lot of people know how to actually do it.
I have my headphones on backwards. Hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead. Keep talking.
All right. Well, I'm just looking at, like, you look like you're actually in a food coma yourself.
What?
Well, you're like all sluggish and shit. Like, oh, you had some of these damn things too. How many did you have?
Sluggish? I had more wine than you did.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't drink during our show, okay? Because we are
liar.
Like,
liar.
We're always on. You know,
she's
we're
lying.
On it.
She's lying.
Okay, so being attentive, I think there's several different words for it or several different ways you can actually think about that, okay? I mean, attentive basically means meeting each other's needs, okay? Something that I freaking preach consistently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a happy relationship is when you actively meet the other person's needs, knowing that you're not going to meet every one of them, okay, because that's impossible, but to have the mindset that you want to meet your partner's needs.
Right.
Okay, and that's a form of being attentive to someone.
So you need to be aware of what their needs are.
What their needs are.
What kind of cues they are sending out that might be signaling to you that they have needs that are being unmet in the moment, right?
I don't believe in cues.
No, well, I mean, sometimes there's just subtle cues and not purposeful, but, you know, they're there.
Okay.
And you need to be aware of them and attentive to them. I mean,
yeah, but,
and pick up on it.
Yes, I guess. But I think that, like, your needs should be stated. Like, I need blah, 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 blah.
Right, but you can state that, like, 2 weeks ago, and in the moment, your needs aren't being met.
Okay, so there is a subtle cue potentially right there that partners should be try to be aware of. I know, you know, not to go into like therapy mode, but I know that we tend to advise against that because we're not mind readers and we can read cues wrong.
Oh, I got what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying? But, yeah. You know, there's some flexibility with that. I think in that moment that somebody needs to step up to the plate and say, right now, this is what I need. Mm-hmm. Are you able to provide that for me or you know, whatever, mm-hmm. when it comes to needs? So I think that needs should be talked about, you know, and wants and desires and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, that is like, how do you have an attentive relationship is kind of the origin question. You have an attentive relationship when you can have a conversation about needs, wants, and desires.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's otherwise, what the hell are you attending to? A, because not everybody likes the same thing. So somebody can think they're attentive, and I'll just give you an example. Somebody can think that they're being attentive to their partner because they think that they want to be taken out to dinners and wined and dined, where there's plenty of people who are like, no, fuck that. I need my emotions tended to. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I need for you to hear me. I need for you to acknowledge me. I need for us to talk. You know, like, there's variations along that attentive line. So,
or for some people, for their needs to be met, it's like, leave me the hell alone sometimes.
Exactly.
Right.
And that way, you're being attentive.
Sure.
But I think, like, ultimately, you know, what it comes down to is that, like, happy couples, when it comes down to this attentive things, they're in tune with each other. Mm-hmm. And the only way that you get in tuned with one another is by having depthful conversations. I mean, there's some energy stuff there, and I'm not going to deny that. And, you know, there's certainly a flow, and there's certainly, you know, a little, you learn a little bit by being around the person, and, you know, you definitely learn that kind of stuff. But, like, you really learn to be attentive to somebody by really knowing them. And the only way that you do that, like the primary way that you do that anyway, is by having depthful conversations mm-hmm. with them. But I don't think that's the only thing that makes for, you know, good sex in a relationship. I think attentiveness definitely makes for good sex because you're being attentive to what they need sexually too.
Right.
You know, and yes, we can learn that through watching the way somebody's body moves, okay? But you're almost like playing a mind reading game there instead of just saying, yeah, I like my nipples pinched. I love that when that happens. Or, you know, I like my balls cuffed or, you know, whatever, you know, and actually having that conversation. And for some people, I think that's really hard. But, like, if you really like something, you really should be able to say, this is what I need, so that way that person can start to do that. And, you know, you're being attentive to what they said they needed. Mm-hmm. To me, that's not anything but common sense.
Right. I was having a thought while you were saying some of that. Like, for some people, I think especially maybe younger people who maybe haven't had or aren't expected to have had a lot of partners. Mm-hmm. Saying those kinds of things might be challenging for them because then the other person's mindset might go to, oh, well, who else has done this to you?
Well, you know, and I totally agree with that. And here's what I would say to that person.
So then the moment is like fucking gone.
Well, here's what I would say to a couple that haven't had a lot of partners. I would say explore. Mm-hmm. Explore different things or things that you think you might like, and then maybe have a conversation about it. Like, wow, when you did this, that felt really, really good.
Right.
You know, and then they can grow from that perspective. Like, okay, because again, common sense is going to dictate that if something feels really good, it's a behavior that we would like to repeat. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it becomes part of the sexual repertoire.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, then there'll be other things and you can throw that in. So being attentive to someone's sexual needs, absolutely. Being attentive to somebody's emotional needs, okay, as well.
Do you ever find that, like, when you share that you like something, that's the go-to all the time? And what do you think about that? Like, doesn't that get a little bit tried and
I think that's
boring?
A lack of exploration.
Right.
I think that, people get into a comfort. Time. People get into a comfort zone.
And the time before. And the time before.
Wait, that happened to you the time before and the time before and the time before?
No, I'm just saying, like, when you share that you like that, if it happens over and over and over again, like, all right, can we get a little more creative here?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good question. Like, what do you do if that happens? Because some people get locked into a routine, and that's okay. that's very sort of unidimensional. But remember, when two people are having sex, like, you know, and I know this is very hard for people to start to understand, but if two people agree to have, you know, sex exclusively, okay, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they're in a relationship or, you know, it doesn't have to get, like, super heavy like that. There's a responsibility, okay, in having sex, and they can, you know, have sex exclusively with one another is my point. But you have to start to realize that, or behave anyway, at least for the time being, until you realize whether or not there's going to be a future, that you're playing on the same team. Like, you're both human beings. We can have a conversation about, hey, that feels really good. Why don't we try something else? Like, let's explore more. Okay. Like, you're on the same team. You've agreed to have sex without having sex with someone else, which I think is a very responsible thing to do. Why not be open and explore options within that realm of that agreement? You know, and I understand that people are, you know, some people can be very shy with that. Some people have different concepts of sexuality. Some people, you know, there's all kinds of different things that can happen. But when you break it down, like, you got to ask that question. Like,
yeah, like, I don't want them to know that I'm into that.
I don't. Yeah. And that's,
like,
bullshit.
That's a trust thing.
That's a trust thing. Like, I don't think, like, if, first of all, if you trust somebody enough to say, let's have, you know, a sexually exclusive relationship, okay, and see where it goes. Because I think that one of the only ways that you're going to see if a relationship can be a possibility is if you start to set those types of boundaries, you know? Because here's the thing, it's like...
So you're basically advocating sex before marriage.
Absolutely.
just absolutely. Making sure we're clear there.
I don't think it's a good idea not to have sex before marriage, but that's a whole other podcast. It's like, you know, you've got to just... You've got to be mature about an adult behavior and enjoy it. I don't see a way that a relationship can start. I mean, think about this. I think about this. I'm like, okay, you start seeing somebody, okay, and you're sexually attracted to them, and you have sex with them, and that's great, and it was amazing, and you spend some time together. And I don't know, 2 weeks later, you find out that they're fucking somebody else. It's like, that's it. Like, that relationship will never move forward, very rarely anyway, because now it's like, we've been having sex for a couple of weeks and we didn't communicate about any type of boundaries, and you went and had sex with somebody else. Now I'm not
special.
I'm not special. I don't trust you now. Like, you were so into me, and now you're in. I mean, are you treating me like you're treating? Are you treating them like you've treated me?
So, at what point in that process do you have this conversation? I think, like, you know, the first couple of times it might be a little early to say, "Hey, let's be exclusive."
I tend not to have sex with somebody
unless you're exclusive.
That I don't feel that could give me that. And I do a lot of, like, preempting, okay, which I shouldn't do. I haven't been wrong, you know, since, but, like, I know I'm absolutely not going to have sex with someone that I'm not being, that's not 100% exclusive with me. I've made a mistake, okay, or two in my life. And to me, like, that is... That's not good.
So Dr. Debleno is not an advocate of the one night stand.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm personally not, but I'm okay with, you know, the concept of one night stands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one time I tried to have a one night stand, it, like, failed miserably. I was in the Dominican Republic. Well, you know,
too much sharing.
not sharing.
What went wrong?
All I will tell you is that I was in the Dominican Republic. Okay.
Oh, well, what happens
with
in the DR?
A bag of condoms that never got used. So
a whole bag you brought?
Well, a box, you know, there's probably what,
like 24,
12, I don't know.
Well, they come in all different sizes.
It was probably a six pack.
Okay.
I don't remember. It was like 7 years ago. I just know I had like like condoms. But anyway, no, I don't, I'm not into the one night stand because when I have sex with someone, like, especially if I enjoy it, it's an emotional experience for me. It's usually a spiritual experience for me. And I don't want to get in a position where I'm like forcing someone to have sex with me again. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to have sex with somebody one time. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
well,
then I
you
think,
might, and if it's no good.
Well, then I try to think about that, you know, like, and I'm trying to think, like, have I ever had, like, I know there's bad sex, absolutely, but
it's not like pizza. Well, some people say it's like pizza, like there's no such thing as bad pizza. Yes, there is. And there is such a thing as bad sex too.
I'm trying to reflect back because I feel like I can work with people. Like, I know that sounds weird, but like I think I feel like the only thing that I couldn't work with is
somebody who's not attentive. Back to the topic.
Possibly.
I think that might be
what
I'm
going. But I would try. I would give it a good try. You know?
The old Deb try.
Yeah. You know, jackrabbit sex isn't usually good.
That's usually the young ones.
Yeah.
I don't know this by any
experience. It needs to be a combination of
whatsoever.
You know, slow and deep and... Wait, what'd you say? You've never had an experience like that.
I don't know by experience about the young ones. Wink, wink.
Yeah. So that's not very attentive. And since we went here, I don't even know how the hell we got here. But, like, that's part of it. Like first of all, any man, and I shouldn't say this because men are probably like, well, any woman that does A, B, C, and D, but you know.
We're women, so we can't say from a man's perspective. So go.
Any man that is like their primary mode of having sex is to just get on, fuck really, really hard, come, and then get off. That's bad sex. Okay. But I feel like you could have a conversation with him and say, look, you know, like this, that felt really good. Cause you don't want to fucking crush his ego, you know, cause we know men's egos are, you know, fragile.
Snowflakes.
Right. This is the way I like it. Okay. But again, you have to be mature enough to have a conversation about sex in order to have that conversation. Okay. And most people will run from these conversations because they don't want to face them head on.
Yeah. Your shirt is totally coming off right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it looking
Your straps
sexy?
Keep falling down.
Do I look sexy? So there's ways to be attentive in relationships, but I think there's other things when it comes to, you know, good sex that couples do that will keep them connected as well as,
So what about when you're not actually together? So what does the attentiveness look like then? Like when you're texting or phone calls and things like that, like attentiveness, responsiveness,
all of that
kind of stuff, like in a text, is there a certain time frame that's acceptable or what do you think?
Oh man, in this day and age, you know, it's so blurred. you know, again, it's almost like it goes back to one of those things. It's like, have you ever seen that meme on Facebook where it's about Christian Grey of 50 Shades of Grey? And it has a picture of like a pink trailer and it says that if Christian Grey lived here, he'd be in jail or on the Maury Povich show or something like that. And basically saying
I've not seen it, but I can imagine it.
Basically saying that the only reason that like Christian Grey is hot is because he's a billionaire and, you know, he's hot, you know, which I tend to disagree with because there's a lot more to Christian Grey. His attentiveness.
He's a fictional character.
I understand that. But his attentiveness is unlike any other.
He is. He's like laser focused
yes. on her.
That is
and
true.
And that is why women like that movie.
Interesting.
Because that is their fantasy, to have the man that they are attracted to be laser focused.
So are you suggesting that the fantasy is more about his attentiveness than it is about the BDSM?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely. The BDSM is just a side piece
Holy
to the attentiveness.
Fuck, you just blew my mind.
Yeah, that movie has the reason why that movie and those books sell, it has nothing to do with the BDSM. That's just a side quality of the attentiveness.
Interesting.
Yes. So I wrote a write-up about that, and it got in a magazine.
Yeah.
That's about attentiveness. That's why he's so sexy, because that's ultimately every
woman's
fantasy is to have someone that's nurturing and attentive and like laser focused on them. That's hot.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Although the flip side of that is, well, I mean, I don't know.
Now, you know, he's not
I
to the point.
I have had somebody like laser focused on me and I'm like, I don't want that.
Yeah, but it's not to the point where it's, you know, in that movie and in the books, it's not to the point of where it's like, you know, something where it's, you know, you want to dial 911. There's something sexy about it. I mean, he gives her some space. He pushes and he pulls, okay? Mm-hmm. And when he pushes hard,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then he'll pull away a little bit, okay? And she's already hooked. Okay, so that's a very, very, very good
Sounds
way
like
of hooking a
woman.
Sounds
like a game to me.
Well, I mean, ultimately, there's a dance in relationships, especially in the beginning. I mean, you can call it a dance, you can call it a game. Okay, I mean, you know, they're actually, to some extent, should be a little push and pull. Okay, because you don't
want to
just
don't want to like vomit all over somebody.
Exactly.
And be like, this is all what I'm about and blah blah blah.
Yeah, and then like, say, well, I believe in telling the truth. No, you need some fucking boundaries. Okay, like
Good
there
point.
Is a you know, there is a push and a pull. You don't tell everything about yourself in the first several months, you know. Mm. You don't tell every experience that you've had. I mean, you know, you create new experiences and you do different things and you communicate about like your needs, wants and desires. And, you know, you get to know each other on a depthful level.
I think some people do that just because they want to get like the shit out of the way to make sure that they're still being accepted by the person.
Sure.
You know, and
yeah.
that might be a turnoff for some people.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, like, oh my God, just like you just dumped all this shit on me and I don't know how I'm going to handle that. Or I don't care. You know, you'll have some people really turned off by that.
Absolutely. I mean, there's times, well, when I go into a quasi, you know, dating relationship or whatever, and I'll come right out and say, look, I am A, B, C, and D. You know, like I am a very aggressive person.
That's A.
I'm a sex therapist and a relationship therapist. So you need to understand that, like, you know, I'm an educated person and blah, 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 blah. And you need to understand that if we're going to be in a successful relationship, motherfucker, you're going to do things my way. I mean, no, I'm joking.
But
I'm just saying, like, you do need to know what I do, because as far as I'm concerned, I think it takes a very strong man to be with somebody like me.
I would agree.
You know, and I will oftentimes kind of lead on a first date with like, are you ready to move forward?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because this is what you're getting into. And I don't like obviously tell like all kinds of details, mm-hmm. you know, about myself, but you need to know some of the most important facts from the get go, you know, cause I always give people an out, you know, like this is who you're potentially getting involved with. You know, and it's a great thing. I mean, I love me. I mean,
choose wisely.
And, you know, people who know me love me, okay? I mean, it's all fine and dandy, but, like, I'm not going to subject somebody that may want a very feminine one. Because I can, sometimes I'm feminine, okay?
That was a big pause.
Well, I can certainly be feminine, mm-hmm. okay, but I'm also masculine, and I know that some men look for an overtly feminine woman, and like, you're not going to get that from me not even 80% of the time. You know, I mean, there's certainly times when I will be put in a feminine position, and that's fine. But like, if you're looking for, you know, somebody might be attracted to me because they're attracted to what I look like, and they may think that, you know, I'm a feminine flower.
I'm shaking my head back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a problem. And I don't want anybody to be like, oh, she's a fucking bitch, you know, blah, 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 just because I started to lead with a more masculine foot. I mean, I give you the ad. Like, this is who I am. This is, but that's all part of, like, the conversations that need to be happening as far as I'm concerned, you know. And when's it too soon, you know? I mean, obviously, you know, I don't think that you should on like first dates be like talking about freaking marriage and talking about, you know, serious monogamous relationships, because that's going to like kind of crunch anyone's style, or having children or that kind of stuff. And not even necessarily about sexual exclusivity, but the moment you choose to have sex with someone and the moment the other person accepts to have sex with you, a conversation about what is this needs to happen. Because I think it, you know, it comes down to, you know, a host of different things. Like, if you're going to have sex with other people, then do I want to put, because sex is emotional. Okay.
Well, what if you just both acknowledge it's just a one night stand? Like,
that's, if they both acknowledge it and they both can do it and they both can agree on it, that's fine. Mm. You know, but the problem comes in is if one person it wants more, right, possibly, right, and the other person's like fucking five other people.
I get that.
You know, that's going to be a problem. So it's making an informed decision. Like, I want to know who I'm having sex with, you know, and I will ask questions like, are you having sex with someone else? You know, because if you are, like, I don't want that shit, you know, like I don't like that. So, okay. So being attentive obviously can go into multiple different directions, and, you know, texting and, you know, it's all good. It's all good. No arguing via texting. It's a bad thing.
We have said this so many times.
Are you taking a picture of me?
I am. I wanted to get you petting my cat, but you're not petting her anymore.
I am now.
Amber's getting some love.
Amber's getting some love. Yes.
Amber's away.
So, yeah, I mean, is there anything else on this topic? Because, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot.
And there's a ton, but, I mean, the main point is attentiveness. And I think we've kind of killed it, so.
The main point is attentiveness. Yes, and that includes touching one another.
Oh, you know? What about,
what?
Extend this for a couple seconds. So I was in this relationship years ago where the guy, I was just head over heels. This is the guy who broke my heart. I mean, if you're listening and you know our stories, like, you know, there was like one major massive love that I had that just like kind of killed me. And when we were out this one time in particular, I mean, I'm sure it happened a couple other times, but I remember this one time in particular, we were in Vegas. And I mean, there's a lot of beautiful people in the world, but most of them live in Vegas, right? Or LA.
Or Miami.
Right. So, and we've also been in Miami, and yes, there are a lot of beautiful people there, but like, we were walking through the casino, and I remember in particular him looking at this one girl, and he actually talked to me and said, "You are so beautiful."
And oh.
I was like, "You are fucking standing right next to me right now.
My God.
Did you really just say that?" I was crushed.
That is a whole other podcast. Like, why why you shouldn't look at the sex that you're attracted to
while you're,
when you're with
the
your
other,
partner.
I was like,
that,
what the ever living fuck just happened?
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was very sad for me.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah. See, so that was not attentive at all.
You know, and then some asshole will get into their mind, oh, she's just so insecure.
No.
That has nothing to do with insecurity. That has something to do with respect.
Right.
So I'm going to end this, and we're going to do a whole other podcast
because
there's a lot to say about that. So next week, okay, we'll do, you're going to hear about that, and you're going to hear what both of us think about that as women. And as human beings. So peace out. We're done. And now I'm on fire about that.
Watch out,
I've
people.
I've got several experiences with that. I'm going to totally jack this.
Just pet the cat. Just pet the cat. Yes. Calm down.
My emotional support animal. My emotion. I need emotional support.
You know you want more. Find them on Facebook at Eat Clean, Think Dirty, The Podcast. And stalk them on Twitter at Don't Eat Dirty.